96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. If you're a single person and actively dating, you know that dating isn't cheap, not even for women. But what if you develop a relationship and discover that your mate has some debt or a lot of debt? How do you handle that? Can excessive debt be a deal breaker when you are in a relationship? Well, my guests have some thoughts about that. Melissa Bradley is a financial expert and managing partner with Sidecar Finance, and Tariq Omari Walton is a relationship therapist. Lines are open. Give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Tariq, good to see you.
Glad to be here.
Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing just fine. Okay, before we get into the personal stuff, let's talk a little bit about money here. Melissa, how would you define too much debt for a single person?
Well, typically, you want to make sure that debt is something that you can actually pay for, right? All debt is not bad. It can be used to leverage. It can be used to manage cash flow shortfalls. But the whole point is you want to make sure you can pay it back. So typically, we always say that you shouldn't have more than 20 to 30% debt based on what your annual income is, because you want to be able to manage the debt service and ultimately pay it off.
Mm-hmm. So we're not necessarily talking about a figure here, but how would you know, again, as a single person, when the debt that you have is unmanageable? What are the signs that may show up, and perhaps what are the signs that your mate may see, even if you don't necessarily want them to see them right off?
Well, I'd say two things to note. One is if you have to borrow to pay off other debt, that's never a good sign. And the second is if you look at the end of the month when you get paid and you are finding yourself robbing Peter to pay Paul, that you cannot pay your core bills of rent, utilities, if you have a car or transportation, because you're trying to cover debt service, then you're probably on your path to a downward spiral.
Mm-hmm. So what would be your recommendation for folks who are like that, but still trying to date, trying to be out there, trying to get a hookup?
Well, you know, we have six kids, and I tell all of them, please don't date unless you can afford to do so. I think one is that, you know, it's part of the budget. Everybody should have some kind of budget, whether it's formal or informal. You know how much money you're going to make. You have a sense of what your bills are going to be, what is left over, and manage it accordingly. I think the wonderful thing is that many places have tons of things to do for free. It's a great way to be creative. Some may even say it's a great way to be romantic. For example, maybe not today when it's windy, but in D.C., walking along the monuments, taking a paddle boat ride, all of those things are inexpensive. And I think that we've got to get out of the habit that we have to spend a lot of money to be able to impress people, when at the end of the day, the money is going to be gone and what you have left is just you and that other person. So don't focus on spending money, but focus on spending quality time, having conversations, not trying to prove to him or her that you got bank and you don't.
Mm-hmm. There you go. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about debt and dating. How do you deal with it if you discover that your mate has debt that is unmanageable? Is that a deal breaker? Give us a call at 202-319-7810. Okay, Tariq, so at what point do you begin to have a conversation about your finances with someone that you are dating?
Well, I think the first thing you need to do is be observant of what's going on with your mate while you are building a relationship, observing their spending habits, you know, if they're talking about issues they're having paying their bills, just being very observant about what's going on with them. But as you're moving forward and you begin to make plans for the future, that's when you need to have a conversation. Unfortunately, a lot of people just move forward in their relationships without having this conversation. It's something that they're almost afraid to have, maybe because they're afraid for people to find out about them. But this is something that you have to have a conversation about if you really want to build something with someone.
So how do you start talking about that, because assuming, for example, that after 6 months, mm-hmm. you and your mate are, as you say, planning. So do you say, you know, honey, let's sit down and talk about money? Do you say what's your FICO score? Is this a formal conversation? How do you begin?
I think you can come at it from several different ways. One, again, if you're planning a vacation, you want to take a trip, and you're having a conversation around where you're going to go, how far you're going to go, the means to get there, where you're going to stay when you get there, that can open up a conversation about what one can afford. And once you start having that conversation, you can discover for yourself, okay, this might be out of their means. Or you can sit down and have a formal conversation about what it is that they are still paying for. Are you still paying off your car? Is there going to be an opportunity for us to go on any kind of vacations? Can we plan for, you know, a big celebration like a birthday or anniversary or whatever? But there's ways to just come at it informally to have that formal conversation.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about debt and dating. Is there a breaking point? Is there a point where you just could not accept the kind of debt that your mate has? Or maybe it's all good for you. Let me go to the phone lines. Let's talk to John. John calling from D.C. Hey, John, how are you? What's on your mind?
I'm all right. I just wanted to say, you know, as far as like, you know, what you guys are talking about, as far as like being in debt and stuff like that, one thing I want to say is that I think most people, you know, even if you live paycheck to paycheck, I think people should always pay themselves when they get paid, like pay yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that way, if you ever have to fall back on something, you have that extra money where you can say, okay, well, I got this, well, I need to pay X, Y, Z, you know.
But John, how much is too much debt, or is there a circumstance under which perhaps a woman that you would be seeing has, you know, too much debt or a financial situation that you just would not be willing to deal with?
Well, let's look at it this way. Let's say the person makes $30,000 a year and they got $60,000 in debt. Mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't deal with them.
so would you tell her?
Yes, of course.
You say your money situation is just too much, and I'm going to have to cut you loose.
Yeah.
That's cold-blooded, John. But anyway,
John, just being honest, though.
There you go, John. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about dating and debt. How do you handle it if your mate has debt that is unmanageable? Mr. Williams calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I feel like she need to get out of debt before she start dating, because she's pushing a big bill up on the spouse plate that he's not aware of. And if he can't afford to help her get out of debt, then why date her? Find somebody that's not in debt.
But, I mean, there's so many other things, Mr. Williams, that he likes about her. I mean, yeah, she may have a lot of debt, but, you know, she may be, you know, God-fearing woman, attractive, you know, handles everything. She can cook. She's loving. She's kind. She just got debt, right?
Yeah.
Still too much for you, huh?
It's right now, it's hard times.
Yeah. Okay. I hear you. Thank you so much. What do you think about that, Melissa? He suggests that, you know, before she, you know, dates him, she's got to get out of debt. That's easier said than done.
It is. I mean, the reality is that one in five Americans have some kind of debt. And so I actually even thought John's comment was interesting, that if someone makes $30,000 and has $60,000 in debt, he would be gone. I think a lot of it depends on what kind of debt it is. For example, we have kids. People are going to have student loans. I say things that are inevitable are debt, taxes, and student loans. Part of it is, what is the overall cost of debt? We know that most kids coming out of college have student debt, and most of them are not making enough to pay it all off right away. So I think it's important that, one, you understand what type of debt is it, because that then speaks to one's values. If someone took a chance to go to college to improve themselves, why are they going to be penalized? But to the gentleman's point, if someone took a trip around the world and really couldn't afford it, well, that's a sign of different values that you may or may not want to be associated with. So I don't know that we should get caught up on numbers or just because they have debt, they should be gone, but understand what got them there, because that then will help you understand the decision-making process and other things like having kids. How are we going to support them? How are we going to have our lives? Where are we going to live? So I think it's really about people's values and what's going on. And the reality is that things change. People make stupid mistakes when they're in college, when the credit card companies camp out on campus and tell you it's the wonderful thing, and people have a chance to learn. So I really do think it's worth a conversation, understanding people's values, and then decide what can you be tolerant with and what do you need to walk away from.
What about spending habits, Tariq? If you're out with, you know, with your mate, and perhaps you all go shopping together, and you know, she decides to, you know, to buy a dress. Even if she can afford it based on what you know, but she's spending more on her even than you might and your lover. Are we talking about differences here that are difficult to move through?
Man, you give me flashbacks right now. One of my old relationships,
some
man.
Some red bottom shoes.
You know, remember there. When she was out buying Coach purses every week and I was a starving artist. You know, it really depends on, again, what she can afford. You know, you look at, if you are aware of what your mate is doing for a living, you have a general idea of what kind of money they're making. And so you can see whether or not they are spending beyond their means or within their means. But then again, going back to the date question and the debt question, looking again at my ex, she had two PhDs. And so she had a lot of student debt, but she's also making good money.
Mm-hmm.
So I know she was able to afford the things that she wanted to pay for, that she wanted to enjoy. At the same time, was I really clear on whether or not she could pay off her debt at the same time? You know, did she have a plan? And I think that's the big part that a lot of people miss out on. You can sit back all day long and worry about what someone did before when they were younger. Like Melissa said, they made a lot of mistakes when they were younger with their credit cards and everything. But do they have a plan to get out of it? And that's the conversation you really need to have. What is your plan to get out of this debt? You can't do anything about the fact that you have debt right now, but what can we do to get you out of it?
You know, as we've been hearing from a lot of guys, we haven't had any ladies call in yet. I wonder why.
Trying to get through, man.
We're going to try to get through. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tonight we are talking about dating and debt. If you find out that your mate, that your partner has more debt than you are comfortable with, and certainly debt that they may not be able to handle, how do you deal with it in the relationship? Lines are still open. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I definitely want to hear from you. When we come back from this short break, we're going to talk to Dean in Maryland and Johnson calling from Rockville. We'd like to hear from some ladies as well tonight. What do you think about dating and debt? So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Lines open, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm on Sirius XM channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about debt and dating. That's our conversation tonight. How do you deal with it if your mate has more debt than you're comfortable with, more debt than they can comfortably handle? What impact would it have on your relationship? How do you have conversations about managing debt within that relationship? My guests are financial expert and managing partner with Sidecar Finance, Melissa Bradley, and Tariq Omari Walton. He's a relationship therapist. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to Dean. Dean calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Dean. What's on your mind? Dean, go right ahead, please.
My name's Steve.
Oh, Steve. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Go right ahead.
I came into a relationship, and my fiance, I was the one in debt.
Okay.
And I had a lot of debt. And it's simple. Basically, she just helped me pay it down.
How much debt are we talking about, Steve?
Probably about $15,000 altogether.
Mm-hmm. And if I may ask, how much were you making?
I was making probably $25,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that for that. That's a lot of debt for somebody making that kind of money. But in the grand scheme of things, you hear that, Melissa? She stuck in there and helped him pay it down.
I'm so proud of both of them. You know, we have to realize, though, there's also an issue around who makes what. D.C. is one of the few places where women actually make more than men. And so while we hear about the gender pay gap in D.C., folks make a little bit more, women make a little bit more. And so I think he's a perfect example where she was willing to have the conversation and help him out. Now, I am curious, you said fiancé. Did you all get married?
Not yet. We're getting married this year.
Oh, well, good for
and
you.
Congratulations.
Just as recently as today, I had taxes. I owed taxes. And I had to pay a percentage of them because we got a car together. And we couldn't get our tags on the car because I co-signed. And because of the debt that I had with the tax, I had to pay a percentage, which was $400.
Mm-hmm.
And they get you a paper that you take to motor vehicle to clear up to get your tags.
Yeah.
And she got paid today because she's a school teacher. And she paid $400.
Well, see, it sounds to me like you've got a great woman there, Steve.
Oh, yes. And I tell her that all the time.
But here's my question for you. When did you tell her that you were in debt? How far into the relationship did you begin to start having that conversation?
When issues came up that both of us had to address. And that's when it started to come out that I had debt.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, she just was willing to help me pay my debt down. Because mm-hmm. when you get married, as y'all know, your debt, her debt becomes your debt.
Yeah.
In the relationship. And so to get myself and keep herself together, I had to get my debt down.
Yeah.
So, like I say, she just simply helped me pay it down.
Well, that sounds good. Dean, I expect to get a wedding invitation. And
Oh, and it's Steve.
Steve, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Thank you so much, Steve. Congratulations again. And like I said, I hope that you all have many, many happy years together. So, I think that's a perfect situation, Tariq, where... You know, he just came out and told her.
Right.
Yeah.
And well, like you said, it came up when they recognized they both had different things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so that opened the door for the conversation. Again, if you're being observant of what your mate is doing and how they're taking care of their finances or if they're having a problem with their finances, that's the perfect situation to have the conversation. Okay, what's going on? You know, I care about you. What's going on that you're having a hard time paying your bills? Mm-hmm. What's going on that you're having a hard time keeping up with your bills or that you're falling behind? Whatever it is, that opens up the gate to have that conversation.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Monique calling from Upper Marlboro. Hey, Monique, what's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going? Love the topic tonight. So as a single woman in the DMV,
mm-hmm.
I've dated men from my ankle bracelets to Cartier bracelets. Okay. There's a range out here. Okay, there's a range. So, you know, what I find is that men and women in the DMV, we are competing with each other. And it's almost like you're trying to impress people who don't even matter. So I can go out for Valentine's Day, get all dressed up, spend $100 on my hair, my dress is $200, shoes are $50 to $70 at DSW. Get my makeup done and all that, smelling good. And I might have spent $400 in that whole process just trying to look good for the night.
Mm-hmm.
And he may spend, who knows, you know, if I'm lucky, you know, a nice dinner out and, you know, flowers. If he can stop at Safeway and get some flowers. But I've already spent more than he has. And it goes back to the have and have nots. I think it makes sense what the advisor said earlier. If you don't have it, then don't date. Don't spend it. And hence, we are in the Netflix revolution because people don't have it. And that's why we're in Netflix and chill. And so now that Netflix and chill is alive and well, people don't spend money on dating. It's like those who do have it, they want you to go half, even though they have it.
Really?
So I have just had all kind of experiences out here. And I think the debt piece is monumental because, honestly, let's say we did follow the financial rule of 10% saving, 10% tithing, 10% investing, and we're living off of 70% of our income. That's not what's happening down here. People are living on credit. They're living on debt. And it's just a new level of comfort where they've gotten comfortable living in debt.
What do you think about what she's saying, Melissa? I have my own thoughts, but you go ahead.
Well, first, I love the ankle bracelets to Cartier. I will get that.
But it's rough out here, so you got to be careful, though.
It is rough. Clearly. Yeah. I think she brings up a lot of good points. I mean, one, I think that, you know, there is this general culture around dress to impress, whether we have it or not. I do think that most Americans, but I would agree, particularly in the DMV, we strive to be sometimes something that we can't afford to be or we can't sustain. And credit is becoming way too easy, particularly with all these online platforms. You know, the average payday lender user has 8 loans. So I do think the access to credit is killing us because it gives us this freedom to spend what we don't have. The going halves, I hear that with our kids who are in the dating world. And, you know, I think that that's where you, to Tariq's point, you've got to have that conversation. You know, I do think that it's important everybody pays their fair share. But at some point in time, you have to understand, what do people do? What can they afford? And finally, you know what? It's a great way to learn somebody if you have a Netflix movie and they come over and maybe you get a little dinner, you do some cooking, you do more things together. I think in general, when people date, the idea is that you're getting to know someone. And if you're spending more time and more money on what you look like, where you eat, standing in line, profiling, then when it comes time to have a serious relationship, you probably have absolutely nothing in common and nothing to talk about. And money is only going to compound those challenges that are going to come up because you spend all this time and money trying to be something that you're not.
Is she right, Tariq? What do you think?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I remember going back to in my starving artist days, I remember, you know, I had to be super creative in the way that I dated. And I had to, you know, just do the same thing that Melissa said, taking walks, you know, and just having these great conversations. And then I remember actually dating people who were making more money than me and recognizing that there were certain things I just couldn't afford. And it put us in a position where she would have to pay the majority of the time. And as a man, are you comfortable with that? And we can get into the whole, you know, provider roles and breadwinner roles if we want to get into that too. But when you're dating, you have to really be conscious of what you can and what you can't afford. And when you start getting into these situations where you're taking people out all the time, and I think this goes to the callers, Monique, right? When it goes to, you know, to spending half, you have certain people out here, particularly some women who like to date and like to go out for free meals. And as a man, if you're dating a lot and you're paying for a lot of meals and you realize that certain people are just out there for free meals, you're going to want to go half sometimes. So I can understand both sides of it. But you just have to be very, very conscious of what you're doing out here and how you're spending your money.
Now, I have a different take. But, you know.
Earl Fitcher's take.
Yes, I do have a slightly different take only because, you know, Monique said that she, you know, she may buy a new dress, she may buy new shoes, she goes to get her hair done, gets her nails done, she's smelling good. See, I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She's coming with her game face on.
Literally.
Okay. If the guy, ankle bracelet or Cartier or someplace in between, okay, let us assume that he's spending money, you know, on the date, and a month from now or what have you, they aren't talking, they have nothing to show for, no relationship. Monique is still looking good, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But he's out, you know, 100, 125, 150, whatever the date costs. And so I do think that, you know, what Monique wore to that date, she can wear to work the next week. She didn't just buy it for the date, and she's not going to put it away and not. So that is still an investment in herself,
right?
You know. But I do think it is interesting, and I do agree with what she says. If you can't afford to do it, then, you know, certainly don't do it. And, you know, Netflix and chill is fine, but not for a first, second, third, or you got to do something a little bit better than that. Monique, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tisha calling from Dallas, Texas. Tisha, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening. I have a couple of things that are on my mind,
mm-hmm.
Especially in regards to a comment that was made earlier. The gentleman, I do believe, said that if you have $60,000 in debt and you're making $30,000 a year, you shouldn't be dating. Well, I beg to differ that, because that person may know what their debt is, and it may be some excruciating circumstances why they have that debt, the school, medical reasons, or anything else. And for you to say that, I don't feel like you should date because you have $60,000 in debt. That person may have a plan to take care of that debt, but who are you to tell me what I can and cannot do if I'm making $30,000 a year?
Well, here, here.
At the end of the day, at the end of the day, I have a plan, and I understand where I need to be. So you may be making $60,000 a year, and you have no plan and nothing to show for it. So at the end of the day, I believe that when entering a relationship, everyone knows the financial situation. They may be afraid to discuss that because for whatever reason it may be, credit is a bad thing to talk about for certain people. They don't want to talk about it. They may have let their mom use their social and they $10,000 in debt and they don't know how to get out.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Did you just say that they allowed their mother to use their Social Security? Is that what you said?
That's what I said.
You know that's illegal, right?
It is illegal, but hey, it has happened. So at the end of the day, you don't know anybody's situation of why they're in debt, but there are a lot of people out there that are trying to get out of debt before they even date. So in that process, if they meet someone, you can't say, I don't feel you should date because you're making $30,000 a year and your debt is $60,000. That doesn't make sense to me. Because that person may still have a plan to get out of that debt.
And I think it's very important to recognize within that you're not making your debt someone else's responsibility. That's the thing about it.
Explain that. What do you mean?
Well, if you are dating and you do have debt, there are people who will look at you and look at you as, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Moneybags.
Mm-hmm.
And so they see their way out of debt by dating you. And the important thing to keep in mind when you are dating someone who's in debt, that they're not dating you as like a predator. They're looking for a way for you to help them pay their way out of debt. And that happens as well.
Yeah. How about that? Tisha, you brought up an interesting point. And just never give anybody your Social Security number.
Right.
You know, don't put it in your daughter's or your child's name or, you know, because then you could end up like our last caller dating somebody with that ankle bracelet. Yeah, because it is illegal fraud. That's what they call it. Tisha, thank you so much. When we come back, little scenario for our guests that I'm going to share with all of you. And lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about dating and debt. How do you handle it? We'll be back in. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. We're talking about debt and dating. How much is too much debt? And are you able to handle it? What's your breaking point? Okay, so Melissa, here's the thing. If someone takes you out, you're on a date, first or second or third date, same person, and you're at a restaurant and they are paying for the meal, nice meal, you know, linen tablecloths, the whole bit. And the waiter comes back and says that credit card has been rejected. And in your experience with this person over the past one or two dates before, everything has been high end and shiny and the whole bit. And now that credit card is rejected. What should you think?
Well, the first thing is, thank goodness my mom told me to always have my own mad money in my pocket. And so I would certainly not want to make a scene at the restaurant and just say, do you need some help? And then afterwards, I would ask, what happened? Just want to know. That was probably embarrassing for both of us, and find out. It could be that they've been living high and finally caught up with them, or it could be that it's a cash flow issue. I wouldn't necessarily get mad, but I'd want to understand why, to then say, do we do this again, or is this the last time that we ever go out on a date?
Okay. Same question, Tariq. What do you think? If that happens and she says that she's going to pay for the meal and that credit card is rejected, and heretofore there's never been any other sign that she may be having, you know, money issues, because she's like Monique, $400 worth of shoes, dresses, and makeup and perfume and the whole bit.
I'd say, first of all, there's two things. One, don't speculate. Because you don't know this situation, until you have the conversation, you really don't know what's going on with them. And two, try your best not to judge, because any of us can fall into that situation. you might have had a problem getting money from your job into your direct deposit. I mean, it could have been any type of thing that might have happened that you're not even aware of. So don't speculate, don't judge, but have the conversation afterwards, just like Melissa said. In that moment, though, you can offer to pay. You can offer to help out. They may be a little proud. They may be a little embarrassed, but let them know it's okay. I'm not here to judge you. I just want to make sure we get through the situation and we can talk later. Once you have the conversation, hopefully you can create a safe space where they can explain to you what exactly what's going on with them. It might have been a mistake. It might be a credit card they forgot that got shut off. It could have been any type of thing. But leave that space open for them to explain honestly and comfortably with you what's going on.
Here's another question, and we were batting this around earlier today, Melissa. If you are, you know, dealing with obviously a single person, and you know what they do for a living. They may have a decent job or what have you. Could be a low six figures, you know, position, $100,000, $120,000 a year. But they are living in a McMansion, and you know how much, you know, McMansions are in the D.C. metro. How do you begin to have a conversation about their finances if that is the only source of income that they have? Because to me, it would appear that they've bitten off more than they can chew. But, you know, if all of a sudden they begin to have money problems, you know, how do you begin to talk to them about that?
Well, I think one, if I know that they are, if that's their only source of income, then I will assume we've had some conversation. But I do think, I mean, I certainly have run into people where I think I know what they do for a living, and then I see where they live or I see what they're driving, and then I learn they're not necessarily in debt. They have a really nice side hustle, or unfortunately somebody passed away in their family and they had a little surge and maybe they splurge. So I think it's just worth the conversation. I've had people who, you know, they sold one house and they parlayed it. All of a sudden they had access to more capital. They bought it. They believed something positive was going to happen, and then maybe something went awry. I think the bottom line is if you're going to be in a relationship, money cannot be the defining issue, but how you have these conversations and how you listen and not judge, as Tariq said, is going to be really important. You never want to speculate because you never know what someone's situation is. They could have hit the lottery. They could have sold the car. They could have been in an accident and gotten an insurance payment that allowed for that spike. Because I don't mind if you have the McMansion, because you may only make a certain amount of money, but you told me some big windfall happened and you bought the house and it's totally paid off, then who am I going to say? So I think what we see on the outside, we really have to dig down and say, what does that look like on their financial statements? How much can they afford to pay in order to maintain this lifestyle?
Is bankruptcy a deal breaker, Tariq?
No, bankruptcy is not a deal breaker. Again, you don't know what the situation is. You don't know if they're reorganizing. People go bankrupt all the time, or they file for bankruptcy all the time in business. So you don't know, again, what the person's situation is. Again, and I hate to have to keep going back to the same point. It's all about the conversation. And I think it's an important conversation. I'm glad we're having this conversation. It's a very important conversation to have, because you find out, you know, once people get married, how finances play a major role in that relationship. And oftentimes that relationship can dissolve because of financial issues. That's why it's important to have these conversations early on, which a lot of people are just afraid to do. They don't find out about the finances until after they've made the commitment, until after it might be during the wedding process when they're trying to figure out how to pay for the wedding, that they discover that the other person is in financial distress. But these are conversations that you really need to have early on. I think, and this goes to relationships in general, people are not having quality conversations about what's important in a relationship. They're not finding out things about, you know, family issues, financial issues, different stresses. They're not having these conversations. They're just enjoying the moment. You have to get beyond enjoying the moment and really understand what's fully going on with your mate.
Now, Melissa, Tariq just said something interesting. He said people file for bankruptcy all the time in business, but isn't it different when it's personal bankruptcy?
Well, you know, he was saying that, and I agree. I mean, I think people, bankruptcy is a means to an end. It's a way to reorganize your finances. And I went to a predominantly white institution, and white folks file for bankruptcy all the time, and nothing happens to them. And so I think that that is not something that you should hold against someone. I think it could be something that is a wake-up call for them. It's something that now gets them on the right track. But we have to own that financial literacy is not typical dinner table conversation. And so sometimes people only learn when they finally hit that brick wall. And I would say bankruptcy is that brick wall.
And it could be they're on a path to success, and it's gone in 7 years. So if you're going to be in a relationship, you're getting married, hopefully that 7 years is a blip on the radar screen, and it really is not that big of a deal.
So I guess it depends on what you do after the bankruptcy.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
You got to learn from. We all make mistakes, right? No one is perfect. And I think that's why, as Tariq was saying, it's really important to have the conversation. You can't judge because everybody has had some kind of mistake somewhere along the way, big or small. It is what you learn from it, how you recover, and what you do over after that. If you keep doing the same thing, well, then I got some concerns because you're probably not going to change. But if you've learned from it and you're making some changes, then I want to be a partner with you in supporting that change and really finding out what's the role I should have so we don't go backwards and we only continue to go forward.
What does someone's credit report or FICO score tell you about them, Melissa, and how should you ask about that? Is there a time when you may ask too soon?
Wow. I think we have to understand that credit scores are one of many indications of how you're doing. And I think particularly with identity fraud and all those kinds of things, a credit score is a number that reflects what an algorithm says about your assets to debt ratio. I think, as was mentioned by one of the callers, if you have a medical setback, then that could, you know, mess up your credit score. If you are helping somebody else in your family, but you can't claim them on your taxes, so you don't get a benefit, which certainly happens in the Black community. We've all got dependents that we can't claim. So I think the credit score, again, is one data point in a much larger story around what are their regular spending habits. And the credit score is also something you could easily fix. And so I think as you're having that conversation, particularly, as Tariq mentioned, you're about to have that wedding and you're about to buy a house together and you may need the credit, it's important to have the conversation, but don't judge, because there are tons of programs where you can repair and build it back up. It is not the end of the world if you get below 600. Again, you just got to change your habits so you get back up to the 700s when indeed 6 months, 12 months later, because you've changed how you spend and how you save.
I'll actually, on that point, to kind of go back to something that Melissa said a lot earlier, it also shows, you know, when you look at credit scores and spending habits, people's values. You know, when you begin to discover what people are spending their money on, you begin to understand what they really value. And that you really want to understand that before you get too deep into a relationship with someone, because even if they're making good money, you're making good money, and you're able to pay down some of your debt, eventually may get to the point where they're spending more than you guys are making. And that turns into something that people don't really consider, which is financial abuse, you know, and how that affects the relationship. And you want to make sure that when the person is, you know, whatever they're spending their money on is not going to be something that's going to put you both in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. And Melissa mentioned something earlier, Tariq, and I think it's really interesting because, particularly here in the Washington metro area, and some could also say, you know, New York, L.A., Miami, wherever, that, you know, there are times when people like to, as they say the vernacular, they like to flex, they like to shine, and sometimes that can work against you if you are flossing. There's another one. I'm hip, aren't I? So much.
Not really.
Yeah.
I'm going to see where you're going with that.
So much that somebody thinks that you have more than you do.
Right.
And that could work against you. Melissa, you think?
Well, no doubt. I mean, I think there's a time and place that all of us have, I'll use your word, flossed at some point in time for whatever purpose. But I do think, again, that you can have one moment in time denote how you're going to manage this moving forward. And you know, I think that there are certain situations, particularly if you're working, say, in corporate America, where you got to be able to put your best foot forward, you're trying to get a promotion. We all do things, but it is not what we do every now and then. It's what we do on a regular basis that folks really need to care about.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what should I use? What's the term?
I don't think it's flossing.
Yeah, I don't think it's flossing.
I think flossing, you know.
I don't know.
Let's go with shine.
So I only have about a minute or so left. Your final thoughts about this, Tariq, about dealing with, you know, the emotional mate part and finances.
Again, what we've been saying the entire time, these are conversations that you need to have. You can figure out when to have the conversation. You can find different avenues into having the conversations, but these are conversations that you can't get away from. They are too important to the future of the relationship not to have. And when you start to try to build something with somebody, if you don't have a full understanding of what's going on with them, whether it's emotionally or financially, you're already setting up a really shaky foundation.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to end this conversation. And there's the other piece we didn't talk about. We talked about debt, but hey, there's the other piece, saving.
Ah.
Saving together.
Excellent.
There's something else you can do. Melissa Bradley and Tariq Omari Walton, thank you so much for talking to us tonight. I really, really appreciate it. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, March 2nd. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy Johnson, Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Atkins, engineers Iran Walter and Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.
The Howard University Radio.